Now, of Irish material, other form of Celtic material, there is an abundance. It comes in profusion. It comes in long and short poems. It comes in the lives of saints. It comes in law codes. It comes in fantasies. It is almost impossible to capture the full sense of this Irish material. Here is a short little poem from the 9th century that gives us a wonderful sense, I think, of the Irish feel for nature. I have news for you. The stag bell winter snows, summer has gone. Wind high and cold, the sun low, short its course, the sea running high. Deep red the bracken, its shape is lost, the wild goose has raised its accustomed cry. Cold has seized the bird's wings, season of ice. This is my news. Now, Anglo-Saxon England produced a substantial corpus of poetry, but also sermon literature and histories and laws and documents, indeed, matters of all different kinds. The most famous Anglo-Saxon works, one of the famous works from the early Middle Ages generally, of course, is the poem Beowulf, composed probably around the year 900. Yet for the immediacy, simplicity, and vigor of the Saxon world, we might turn to a 7th century poem, a short little poem, Cædmon's Hymn. Now, this is written in Old English, in Anglo-Saxon. What does that sound like? Nu shulon herir hefer riches weird, mechtedes machte edes mod ye thunk. Well, in our English, now we must praise the guardian of heaven, the might of the Lord and his purpose of mind, the work of the glorious Father, for he, God eternal, established each wonder. He, holy creator, first fashioned heaven as a roof for the sons of men. Then the guardian of mankind adorned this middle earth below, the world for men, everlasting Lord, almighty King. Now the German-speaking lands produced, once again, a large amount of poetry, but also chronicles, legal materials, and so on. By the 13th century, German could produce a masterpiece, such as the Nibelungenlied, a romantic retelling of the myths about the origins of the Germanic peoples. Among other interesting things about this poem, we actually encounter in it some real people, such as Attila the Hun and the great Ostrogothic king Theodoric. But we can go back a little before the Nibelungenlied to the emergence of the Minnesänger. Now, the Minnesänger were German-style troubadours, love singers is what the name means, who wrote love poems influenced by the current fashions in French poetry at that time. We'll turn to the French in a few minutes. We can go back to the 9th century to glimpse the origins in Saxony of Germanic literary creation. Someone, we don't know who, created a powerful German retelling of the life of Christ, a sort of a blending of the four Gospels. The poem is called the Heliot, which means the Savior. Now, here we can really see the blending of a Christian culture and a Germanic ethnic culture at the same time. Jerusalem becomes a hill fort. Christ turns into the leader of a war band made up of his apostles. The details of this poetry, in other words, are those of the Nordic North and not of the Mediterranean. As for the Slavic world, the earliest materials committed to writing in Slavic languages date from the 9th and 10th centuries, and they're connected with the 9th century missions of St. Cyril and Methodius to the region that we know of as Bohemia. Initially, Christian texts were translated into Slavic languages, and then, slowly but surely, original works were actually composed in Slavic. Scandinavia produced its vernacular literature in two waves and in two different kinds. First, there are narratives of the settlement of Iceland. Beginning late in the 9th century, considerable numbers of Scandinavians, largely Norwegians at first and then others, began settling Iceland. So the earliest Scandinavian literature are accounts of the settlement of Iceland and then also the law books written for the people who went there. Then in the 12th and 13th century, we begin to have the sagas, that means the things said, which treated in wonderfully artful blends of fact and fantasy the early history of the settlements, sort of historical sagas, and the great families, the great heroes, the great figures from the past, dynastic or family sagas, who were responsible for that early settlement of Iceland. The largest outpouring by far of vernacular material came from France, beginning in the 12th century. Now, the oldest single work is the anonymous Song of Roland. Now, this poem was assembled in its present form about 1100. You may recall we mentioned it in connection with chivalry. Clearly, there is oral material that goes back a long time before this.